Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. It is Monday, August 16th, 2021. CNN reporting. Chaos in Kabul as Taliban take power and thousands try to flee. The photograph CNN gives us 2 years ago is a tangle, a tower tangle of young men, Afghanistan young men, trying to climb onto the entry ramp of a large aircraft that's parked beside, trying to escape. It's reminiscent, of course, of the ladder of climbing people from Saigon, 1975, as the Americans evacuated and the North Vietnamese and their Russian allies were on the gates of Saigon. This is a different city, however, and a different circumstance, because the U.S. wasn't defeated, it withdrew. That withdrawal started in negotiations in Doha, Qatar, between the Trump administration's State Department, led by a man named Zalman Khalilzad, and representatives in some fashion of the Taliban. To help us recover those events 2 years gone, I welcome my colleague of many years, Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State. Mary, a good evening to you. Khalilzad is in the news these days with a Politico article talking about how he's always trying to stay relevant. I want to go to his conduct at the Doha negotiations and your negotiations with him in the State Department. My summary of reading about this is that the deal, whatever it was, that the U.S. and Taliban or representatives of Taliban resolved at Doha, the Taliban never held up to any of their promises, and therefore the deal, when you left office, was not acted upon. Can you help me understand what happened, Mary? Good evening to you.
Sure. Good evening, John. Always good to be with you. I think the context here is very important to understand. Ever since President George W. Bush sent agents and eventually our military into Afghanistan to hunt down al-Qaeda, every president since has tried to get out of Afghanistan and couldn't do it. Remember that President Obama said he was going to withdraw troops. And what he found was he couldn't do so without destabilizing the country and opening it up again as a haven for terror. And so it was a very, very tricky mission that President Trump gave to then Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to say, hey, I want all our people out, but I need you to do it in a way where we can maintain stability and the Afghan government can maintain stability. So the negotiations that you cite, John, were not just between Ambassador Khalilzad and his deputy Molly Fee, both kind of creatures of Washington and the State Department and the bureaucracy. They were also between them and the Afghan government, because the Afghan government itself was not a straightforward actor. Lots of corruption, but a great PR machine in Washington. But we had problems on both sides. Not that I'm comparing a terrorist organization to Karzai. I'm not doing that. But just to say that they were complex negotiations on both sides. What it was an agreement to get those two sides to start talking to each other. So when we talk about deals with the Taliban and with the Afghan government, it wasn't a deal that said this is how the country is going to look. It was simply to say, we're going to get you guys to the table and figure out a way to, basically allow Western forces to get out of Afghanistan, but to prevent it from becoming a haven for terror again. So that's the quote unquote deal that was negotiated. Now, you said the Taliban didn't live up to their promises. That's not true, John. They did. No U.S. forces were killed for months as we were negotiating. That was one of the terms of the negotiations, that, well, if you attack us, then clearly you're not, negotiating in good faith. So there were aspects of these talks and the terms of the talks that were upheld. Now, what happened under Biden is that he came into office and instead of taking that formula, which is we're going to have a conditions-based agreement that will demonstrate our goodwill, but we will only, on the U.S. side, adhere to it if we can do so safely. Biden just threw that conditions-based out the window. He said, I just want all the U.S. troops out. Let's take them out. And so there was no real planning or preparation. He didn't seem to care if the Afghan government could maintain control. And he didn't take any measures to protect U.S. military equipment or, most importantly, our people when that withdrawal started. And so you had 13 servicemen and women killed because of this capricious, impulsive, and poorly planned withdrawal. And you saw the loss of human life on the Afghan side as people ran to those airplanes and tried to get out. And now you see the worst possible scenario where the United States and NATO forces have lost hundreds of people in that fight over 20 plus years for nothing, because the Taliban now run the country and the Afghan government cut and run. It's a disgrace, and it was entirely avoidable if they had just followed the conditions-based approach. We were taking troop levels down in thousands of increments and maintaining stability because we were testing the ability of the Afghan government to maintain that national security. Biden didn't do that, and now you see the result today. It's a terrible result for the Afghan people. It's a terrible result for those that want to prevent Afghanistan from becoming a haven on terror, and it's a terrible outcome for places like India and others who are now directly threatened by that terror threat.
I'm interested in that glimpse of the Ghani government in 2020 when you were in office at State Department. Was the Ghani government trustworthy, all its various aspects, its relatives, its friends? Was that a trustworthy organization, or was it always fragile from the beginning?
No, it was never trustworthy. I think, again, I said they had a great PR machine. They did. Ghani had cultivated relationships with prominent people throughout Washington and other national capitals around the world, promoting himself as a really reputable and trustworthy and straightforward figure, which he was not. When we saw President Biden order this very rushed withdrawal with no preparation, really, I actually wasn't surprised that Ghani cut and run at all. That was entirely consistent. That's why we had a conditions-based approach, because we didn't really trust either side, the Afghan government side or the Taliban side. What we were trying to do was to get them to the table to talk to each other and to then take U.S. troop levels down to protect our people and our interests while simultaneously preventing the country from becoming a haven for terror again. Khalilzad, as I said, when I say he's a creature of Washington, he is. He worked for RAND and then DOD and policy planning at state. And then he was
ambassador to Afghanistan, ambassador to Iraq, extraordinary ambassador to everywhere. Always traveling. Yes.
Right. And so his prestige was really based on his links to Afghanistan. And so his personal interest, I never assumed bad intentions. And he had, I think, every intention of trying to negotiate peace. But his interest was in keeping Afghanistan at the focus of U.S. foreign policy. And, Afghanistan's import was waning. DOD wanted to be there because they were getting a lot of money and grants and attention, right, to keep troops there. But really, the failure here also has to fall pretty heavily on the Pentagon, which didn't manage over a 20-year period to stand up a functioning Afghan defense force.
Right.
I mean, that's remarkable that you had prominent generals from Petraeus and others who didn't stand up and say, hey, guys, this isn't going to work without U.S. air support and U.S. intel. Right. They didn't say that. They had, you know, 1 year plans, a series of 1 year plans. And so I don't want to imply that the problem was, you know, Khalil Azad or, you know, entirely Biden. You know, the fundamental problem here was a DOD industrial complex just wanted to stay there forever. And that's not a happy thing to contemplate, but it's a reality. And so the withdrawal was rushed. It shouldn't have happened that way. Innocent lives were lost, Afghan and American lives. That's a tragedy, and someone should be held accountable for that. But there were also many, many other failures throughout the U.S. government over the years.
August 16th, 2021. It's okay to borrow a phrase, a day of infamy. Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State. We're going to China. Mary spent many years in China, but we're seeing extraordinary announcements from Beijing right now. Announcements of failure. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State and a longtime correspondent, member of the editorial staff at Hong Kong for the Wall Street Journal, and Mary's experience traveling in Asia looks to the Chinese miracle. Well, it might be gone. Here's Singapore announcement in the Journal this morning. Chinese officials said they would stop reporting the country's youth unemployment rate after months of spiraling increases, depriving investors, economists, and businesses of another data point on the declining health of the world's second largest economy. China's currency, the yuan, weakened past 7.31 at U.S. dollar in Hong Kong trading these last hours, touching its lowest level since November 2022. The offshore yuan has depreciated more than 5% against the dollar since the start of this year. Mary, these are a jumble of numbers. The part that gathers my attention is they've stopped reporting the future. 96 million young people between the ages of 16 and 24. And the Chinese Communist Party no longer tells the truth about them. It's true that there are many other statistics we have pointing downward. But deceiving us about their youth unemployment is strange, Mary. Are they in retreat? Have they been defeated? Is this a trick? How do you read this odd event?
I think it would be remarkable if any investor or CEO ever believed any statistic that came out of China. We know that they have essentially been lying about their growth, their debt levels, various statistical measures. And when there's a statistic that is put out that brings undue attention to the party's, let's just be honest, massive failings when it comes to economic stewardship, like the fact that they locked up people for 3 years and issued a ton of debt. And now people aren't consuming things and the rest of the world isn't demanding as many Chinese exports. And you've got this huge spiraling youth unemployment, which, by the way, I think is much higher than 20%. They just shut it down and pretend that it's not there. And as you say, deny access to the numbers such as they are. We saw this happen in these recent months with the Wind Information Service, which was another data source in China that many investors used as a kind of gauge to at least see which way the wind was blowing in terms of the economy. That's gone now, too. And so the environment that they are setting up. Oh, let me add the raids on corporate due diligence firms in China. So, you know, that source of information is getting shut down, too. So what are you really looking at here? You're looking at a party that runs a totalitarian state that is preventing outsiders as much as it can from seeing what's really going on. So you can't really look in. And they're taking their massive propaganda machine and pushing propaganda out. And so you will most likely start to hear what we call the United Front organs, which are the propaganda tools of the party, saying everything's fine. We're starting to bring youth unemployment down. We are opening up tours again. Come to China. We want investment in China. Don't worry. Just don't look under the hood or ask for any numbers. Just trust us. And so I think you'd have to be a special sort of sucker to fall for that, because what they're showing you through their actions is that they're not honest. The situation is likely far worse than they're saying, and they have no intention of being transparent. That is not an environment where you can make rational economic decisions as a foreign investor.
The last chart we have of youth unemployment, it was 21.3, now rumored to be much higher, but there are other charts that...
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.